Christmas is a season of believing. We grow up, of course, with stories of Christmas magic and wonder. There's Santa and the elves and the flying reindeer. There's a talking snowman. There's even the Grinch down in Whoville. And belief is sort of the secret ingredient that gives these stories life. And then, in turn, the stories fill the Christmas season with wonder. Of course, we know that Christmas is really about Jesus. Jesus is the story that we tell, how he was born under the star in the little town of Bethlehem, the angels sang at his birth, the shepherds came and spread the news, the wise men traveled from afar bringing Jesus gifts. That's the story that we celebrate. That's the story that we believe. And it's in our belief that the Christmas story comes to life for us. It's in our belief that Jesus becomes our Savior. It's in our belief that Jesus gives us everlasting life. And so during this Christmas season, this season of believing, we're going to rejoice this morning in the things that we believe. The passage I'm going to be sharing with you today is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. It's a familiar passage, even if it's not so much a Christmas passage. But listen to these words about what we believe. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I know this doesn't sound like a Christmas passage. There's no baby or manger. There are no shepherds here. But it is a passage about believing in Jesus. Believing that Jesus came into the world to become our Savior. And it's our belief in Jesus that sparks our faith, that gives life to the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. It's belief that opens up our hearts to know and to love God. Belief hears the story of Jesus and says, it's true. I believe that story is true, that Jesus came into the world, that he was born as a little baby, that he grew up to become a leader and a teacher and a miracle worker and then to die and rise again to become our Savior. I believe that story, and so it's good news for me. Belief can be a hard idea to get our hands around. What organ do you use to believe? Do you believe with your mind? I'm not so sure. Scripture, in fact, what we just read, we believe in our hearts, in our souls. That's where belief takes place. Now, if you read in a dictionary, you look up the word belief, it'll say something like an acceptance that something exists and is true, especially without proof. To accept that something is true, especially without proof. So this is how I want us to understand and think about belief today. To believe means to hold something to be true, even if you can't prove it. Even if you can't prove it. I wasn't there to see Jesus born. I imagine you weren't either. I didn't hear him cry in the manger. I've never talked with Mary and Joseph to hear their account of what happened. I didn't hear the angels singing out in the fields with the shepherds that night. I didn't witness those things. But I believe it happened. I believe the story. I believe that Jesus was born to be my Savior. I believe that His life gives me life. I believe those things. I can't prove it, but my soul knows that it's true. So let's take this definition of believing one step farther, and that is to say that to believe also means to live by what you hold to be true, to live according to those things that you believe. You see, it's not enough just to want something to be true. We need to allow those things that we really believe in to shape who we are, to shape how we live our lives. Our belief changes us. It changes how we look at the world around us. It changes the things that we value. It changes who we are deep inside of our hearts, because when we believe something is true, we begin to shape our lives after that truth, and it changes how we treat the people around us. It changes those things that we hold most important. Believing in the Christmas story should change our hearts. We believe that Jesus was born as a little baby, and so that means that we also need to believe that God is good. And that God looks down on each one of us and sees that we are people in need of help, people in need of a Savior. And Jesus came into the world because God loves us enough to give us that Savior. It means that to you, God shows Himself a loving and powerful God because you are precious to God. You matter to God. Believing in Jesus' life also means that your life matters, that your soul is worth the price that Jesus paid for it, that you are worth something to God. You see, what we believe about Jesus starts with the Christmas story, but it isn't just the Christmas story that we believe. We believe everything that the Bible teaches about who Jesus is and why He came into this world and what He has accomplished for us. And so this passage in Romans chapter 10 invites us to consider all that we believe as followers of Jesus Christ. And that begins with Jesus' own story. So we say today that we confess our belief. We believe that Jesus was born, that He lived, that He died, and that He rose again. We believe in the story of Jesus' life. Now we celebrate Christmas every December, and then Easter will come in springtime. In fact, Easter this year falls on April 1st, and that's not a April Fool's joke, but you can mark your calendars now. Easter will come on April 1st, and Christmas and Easter are the high points of the church year. The bookends of Jesus' life are also the high points of our celebration of our faith, the celebration of Jesus' birth, and then the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, His rebirth. These are the centerpieces of our faith. And we can't tell the first part of His story without also understanding and looking forward to our celebration of the end of Jesus' life here on earth. Even as we celebrate His birth, we also remember that Jesus died and rose again. Listen to verse 9 again in Romans chapter 10. It says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this passage, is sort of summarizing all that we believe about Jesus into that one sentence, that we believe He is Lord, and we believe that He rose from the dead, that Jesus is who He said that He is, that He came into this world to be for us both our Lord and our Savior, both the one who teaches us and loves us and heals us and provides for us and is the master over our lives, but also the one who rose again from the dead to save us eternally from the burden of our sin. Jesus is the Lord who rose again to new life. Now, the gospel accounts fill in the details of Jesus' life and his ministry and all that he did here on the earth. And as you read through the gospel stories, you see all the amazing and wonderful things that Jesus accomplished. And we know that story, and it all matters for our faith. And we believe it. It is the true story that defines who we are as Jesus' followers. Now, as we go through these next couple of weeks before Christmas, and it is just a couple of weeks away now, we'll see reminders everywhere we go of the season. In fact, almost everyone who lives in our country, in fact, almost everyone who lives in the Western world, and virtually half of the population of the earth, is celebrating, in one way or another, celebrating Christmas. Now, for some people, they just celebrate the sort of secular Christmas, the Christmas that's about lights and gifts and buying things at the store. And for many people, that's what Christmas has become. It's just a time of gift-giving and Santa Claus and nostalgia and childhood memories and twinkling lights. And in one way, that's okay. If that's how the world wants to celebrate Christmas, that's okay. But for us, Christmas needs to be a whole lot more. You see, for us, Christmas is a time to celebrate what we believe. It's a time for us to, in essence, live out and to give meaning to the statement of faith that defines who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. That we rejoice in Jesus' birth because we believe his whole story. We believe he came into this world sent here by God's love. We believe he grew into a man and started a ministry in a public way in which he taught and healed and cast out demons and confronted the powers of darkness and also confronted those powers that tried to stop God's goodness from coming into the world. And we believe that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. And so at Christmas we celebrate that whole story. That story that began with Jesus being born and placed in a rough manger. So we believe Jesus' story, but we also believe what that story proves about who he is. And that is to say, we believe that Jesus is Lord of all. We believe he's Lord of all. This is where our Christmas celebration diverges dramatically from the world's sort of Christmas. You see, we believe that Jesus is who he said that he is. We believe that Jesus is who the Bible teaches he is. On the night when Jesus was born, the angels appeared to the shepherds, and one of the angels, the great archangel, spoke to the shepherds and said these words in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Calling Jesus Lord means that he has to come first in your life. It means that there is nothing else that you desire or follow or obey or listen to or want more than Jesus. It means that he has to be the highest authority over your life. If Jesus is Lord, then it means he deserves your love and your devotion and your service above everything else in your life. And that's a hard test for many of us. because we all have those parts of our lives that we try to hold back from God. Those pieces of what we desire, who we want to be, that maybe don't line up with what God desires or wants for us. But if Jesus is your Lord, then every part of who you are needs to be submitted to His authority so that He can be your master, so that He can be your king. You see, this is where believing needs to impact how we live and how we behave. Believing that Jesus is Lord, it means that we have to follow His teaching. And not just the bits and pieces of His teaching that are nice and easy, but even those hard parts of His teaching. Like where He said that we need to love our enemies. That we need to pray for the people who hurt us. Like when Jesus said that if we're going to follow Him, we need to take up our cross. Just as He took up a cross. We need to be willing to sacrifice what is dear to us, what is important to us, so that we can more fully and completely follow and obey Him. If Jesus is your Lord, it means you need to submit to His values and submit to fulfilling His mission. It means that you need to be a part in every aspect of your life to doing those things that He wants you to do. And not holding anything back. It means seeking after His kingdom before the ideas or values or things of this world. Jesus wants to be your Lord and Lord of every part of your life. He is our Master, He's our King, He's our Lord. And in addition to being Lord, we believe that Jesus is the Savior. We believe He's the Savior. This is why Jesus came to the earth. This is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You see, Jesus was already Lord in heaven. He was already Almighty God. He was already King of Kings before He came into this world to be born as that little baby. When Jesus was with God the Father in heaven, Jesus was fully divine, fully equal to God the Father in every way. But God promised that He would come and save us. Save us from evil and darkness and hurt and oppression and fear and to save us from our own wretched sinfulness. Because God saw that we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. He came to teach and to love and lead. But above all else, Jesus came into this world so that He could die for our sins. And then to rise again in victory over sin and death. And that is why the promise that we read in verse 13 matters. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is Lord over their lives will also be saved, because Jesus is not only our Lord, but He's also our Savior. Now we need to be clear here that Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus came into the world because we need a Savior. That was His purpose for coming. But we also need to understand that Jesus is the only Savior. Had there been another way for our sins to be removed, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. If there had been another way for us to be restored in our relationship with God, for us to be healed and made right again with God, if there had been another way for us to find restoration and redemption and hope, had there been another way for heaven to be opened for us, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to come and to die and to rise again. But you see, God understood that we need a Savior. And Jesus came because He was the only way. God's own Son. given to take away our sins, given to forgive and restore and make us right again with God. And Jesus came, born to fulfill that mission, that great purpose of God. Now there's one more thing that we need to say about believing in the Christmas story. And that is to say that your belief does not make the Christmas story true. It's true whether you believe or not. It is true because it happened. Because Jesus was in fact born 2,000 some years ago in Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph placed him in a manger, and the angels sang in the sky, and the shepherds came, and the wise men showed up later, and these things happened. It's a true story. It's also true that Jesus is Lord and Savior, even if you choose not to believe that. But if we do choose to believe, then it allows us to enter into His story. It allows you to become a part of what Jesus is doing in this world. You see, believing in Jesus is like accepting an invitation. God has invited everyone. Everyone who lives on the face of this earth has been invited to a great celebration, a great feast of new life. And God wants everyone to be there, but of course some people ignore the invitation. Some people make other plans. They've got other things to do. Some people can't decide if it's worth their time, and so they put off deciding. But if you accept that invitation, if you believe, then you are allowed to enter into that feast of new life, and you are allowed to take your seat at the celebration. And that's where God wants you to be. Christmas reminds us to believe. To believe that Jesus was born and lived among us and died for us and rose again. It invites us to believe that His story is true. To believe that Jesus is our Lord. And believe that Jesus is our Savior. So with our hearts open to that belief, let's give thanks to God for His goodness. Join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we do give You thanks today for Your goodness and Your love. We thank You for sending Jesus into the world to become our Savior. We thank You, Lord, that we've heard that story and that You've invited us to believe and to accept Your invitation to new life. And Lord, I pray that each one here today would have hearts that are open to You, hearts that truly believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And Lord, help us to tell that story to others and to invite them to believe. And I pray that You would be at work in the hearts of people that we love, people that You love, who need to open up their hearts and believe. Lord, we pray that this would be a season not only when we celebrate Jesus, but when we believe and when we share our belief with others. Lord, we love You and we thank You for sending Jesus as our Savior. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.